you have to say to us, Lord, and we can hear this at home as well, but it's good to be have an assembly of like-minded believers together, and we're grateful that you've allowed us to do that in this country, and you looks like it's going to be allowed to keep going, Lord, and we're thankful for that, and now we pray, Lord, for the services this morning. We pray for the teachings this morning, Lord, that you would just be with them, and you'd give us something that we can learn to better walk with thee with, and we pray these things for Christ's sake, amen. Okay. The last time we met here, that means when I was here anyway, we saw just who this man Jude is. He could be either Judas, James's brother, who came out of the womb of Mary, the mother of Jesus, or he could be Judas, the brother of James, the son of Alphaeus. And we kind of discussed it, however, he is the brother of Jesus. How? Being a child of God, being put into the family of God, Jesus, God's only begotten son, became a brother to you as well, if you're saved, right? So, also we went through that, what position a servant is. It's a low position. It's something that somebody takes upon themselves, and it's a position under somebody else. Okay, it's a servant, and that's who Jude is. He's a servant. He claims to be that right here, and it's a position of no reputation. Look if you would in Philippians 2:7. Philippians 2:7, and this is how Jesus, this is what he did for us, and Luke 2, we'll start in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. And so it's a position of no reputation, and Jesus here is our example, and he's telling us, Paul's telling us, let this mind be in you, right? We're to have the same type of mind that Jesus had, and we're to be a servant, be a servant. We're not to lift ourselves above and exalt ourselves, and so. Become a servant here on earth, and God will exalt you. He's exalted Jesus Christ. Look at what it says. And being found fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted. We just sang that. Hallelujah, what a Savior. He's exalted him. He's exalted him. And so if you exalt yourself here on earth, you know what your path is going to be like? It's going to be abased, the Bible says in Luke 14:11. Let's look there real quick. We'll look up that verse. And it's good to keep these verses in our minds, and it's good to be remembered of them. Yeah, you know, okay, we all know them, right? But do we know them, right? Do we constantly think of these things as we're going through our daily walk with the Lord? And I can't say that I do. Right? And when I'm studying and the Lord brings it up to my mind, I have to put it down on paper because it's good to remember these things. Luke 14:11, the Bible says, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And so, humble yourself here, and later on in heaven, the Lord will exalt you. And sometimes you get exalted here by the Lord, but I don't put any weight or any hope in that. I know we do right here that someday the Lord's going to do right to us, in heaven. I know that for a fact. But we're not promised any exalted position here. We're not promised to be exalted here on this earth. But later on, right, in the millennium maybe, or maybe somewhere after that millennium. So what is one characteristic? One characteristic that a servant must have to be profitable. He must have it. And that is obedience. Look at what Jesus says right here. He was obedient. Verse 8, Philippians 2, verse 8. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. And so obedience is a characteristic that you must have if you're going to be a servant. Must have. And Jesus, he was obedient unto death. Now, when you do a search of the word servant, you find over and over again that word obey and obedient as a characteristic on how we're supposed to be to the ones that are over us. Whether it's at your job place or whether it's God. And God sits over the top of all of us, right? And we're under him. And if you're a Christian, hopefully you are under him, right? You're under his direction. You're under his guide. You're under his instruction. You're under his reproof. You're under his rebukes, right? And so we're supposed to be obedient to that. And God is over you. Christ is over you. The Holy Spirit is over you, and so we're to be obedient to the Lord. And we'll get into that here in a little bit, but we also went through that business of being sanctified by God the Father last week, which brings us to this next word, preservation. And everybody that is trusted in Jesus Christ is sanctified by God the Father. It was a week and a half, week and a half ago? Yeah, okay, not last week. But this thought of preservation, look if you would, Jude verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. And so, but this thought of preservation is a keeping. It's like if you preserve a tomato, right? You're wanting to keep it for longer than it normally would be if you just left it sit there on the shelf, right? And so they do things like can, and they do things like freezing, and it's or salting or drying, and it's a form of preservation. And so this thought is, it's a keeping. Look, if you would, in John 17, verse 9. Hopefully I wrote down the right one. Yeah, 17 verse 9. The Bible says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Right? And so, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Okay? And so, they are not of the world, even I am. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so how are we going to be kept? We're going to be kept through the word. We're going to be clean through the word. We're going to be preserved through God's word. He is a God of his word. And he is not going to allow that to be broken by anybody. Not by the devil, not by his angels. He cannot break his word. And nobody else can either. Nobody else can break God's word. Even though they try, and they deceive many, and they make the word of God of none effect to those that are deceived by them. But he's gonna fulfill his words. But when you preserve something, you want it to last. You want to keep something from being corrupted. Look, if you would, in 1 Thessalonians. And if you just let a tomato out on a table, right? My wife did that last year, and they were corrupted. The little worms got in there. The fungus got in there. The mold. And they're good for throwing at people then. Anyway, 1 Thessalonians, they were corrupted though, 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's an interesting verse. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus wanted, through the Holy Ghost, wanted those that are sanctified by God to know that your whole body and your soul and your spirit will be preserved blameless for those that have trusted in Christ. Verse 24, look if you went to verse 24 there. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Right? It's going to happen, folks. It's not that he's praying that, oh, we hope it will. No, it is. It is. It's like he's praying scripture back to the Lord. And those words are going back, and God is remembering this thing, these things. It's like he's remembering them as they're coming out of these men's mouths. And so, in Jesus Christ, your body is preserved. Why? Because if you're in Christ, you're a member of his body. Right? It's going to be preserved. It is preserved, folks. When he calls, no matter where you are, no matter how many pieces you're in, right? He's calling your body. It's going to be changed. But it's going to be preserved. And it already is preserved. You're part of his body. You're of his flesh and of his bones. And so for your body to be blamed for anything later, if you're in Christ, what would God have to do? Jesus would have to be blamed for something. Is Jesus going to be blamed for anything? I highly doubt it, folks. I really don't believe that. And if you believe that, maybe you need to read some more scriptures, right? He's already taken the punishment upon him. He's already been, he's righteous. He came out of the grave. There's no sin in him. He bare his sins in our body on a tree. But that was it. He wasn't no blame was put on him, or he would have never came out of the ground. And so, for God to blame your body for anything, he would have to blame his own body. And he's not going to do that, folks. So, for your spirit and your soul to be blamed for something would mean that the Holy Ghost would have to be blamed for something. Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1:6. I think it's 1:6. That's not it. Is it 1:8? I'm looking for the one where I know it's in there somewhere. Maybe it's 6. Yeah, 6:17. Sometimes I write down the wrong numbers. I don't know. My mind's thinking of another number or another verse, and you just type it in wrong. But it's 6:17. Verse 16, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. There's something that happens to you when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then what happens? The Holy Spirit comes in your body, and it looks like it's as the Holy Ghost, and your spirit's attached to the Holy Spirit. And guess what's inside your spirit, or the outside of your spirit? Your spirit and your soul, it's like they're connected. And that soul and spirit get cut away from the body. And that soul and spirit gets joined to the Lord. Hey, the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord, if you're saved. Right? And so, your spirit's God's. And where does your soul go? It goes either down or it goes up. Right? And you can see that by the story with rich man and Lazarus. Something happens to the soul there. Right? The rich man's soul went to hell, and the angels carried the soul of Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. So something happens with the soul. We don't go to Abraham's bosom now. We go to be with the Lord, folks. So in order for something for your soul or your spirit to be blamed for something, guess what? Holy Spirit's got to be blamed for something. The Holy Ghost's got to have to be blamed for something. And that is not going to happen, folks. That's just common sense. It can't happen. And it's common sense because there's too many other scriptures that show you that you're going to be blameless. You're going to be blameless. You got to be blameless, because in order for you to be blamed for anything, Christ has to be blamed. Holy Spirit has to be blamed. And that is not going to happen. Now, this calling, not only are you sanctified by God and preserved in Jesus Christ, but you're called if you've trusted in Jesus Christ. The calling comes from the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, and that's found in John 16. Now, do you see what we have here? We got a picture of the Trinity right there in the first verse. Sanctified by God, preserved in Jesus Christ, called. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's a blessing to read these verses and just to see these things. John 16, verse 7. The Bible says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. What happens before you get saved? Something tells you that you've been a bad person. Something tells you you've been naughty, right? And it's not Santa Claus by not giving you the gift that you wanted at the end of the year, right? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. It's reproving you, the world of sin, okay? Because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. How are you gonna know what the calling of the Lord is? How are you going to know? The Holy Spirit does the calling. The Holy Spirit does the guiding. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. What are you supposed to do? What are you called to? The Holy Spirit will show you, right? The callings of the Holy Spirit. And anything that the Father has for you to do, anything that Jesus has for you to do, any calling of the Father or of the Son will come through the Comforter. And so the Comforter is the one that does the calling, because he's the one that does the bidding of the Lord, because the Lord Jesus isn't here anymore, right? It's the Comforter. Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God the last time I looked at my Bible. And the rapture hasn't come, so we're not in the air with him yet. And we're not in the millennium, that's for sure. That is for sure. But it comes through. Now, look if you would in Revelation 22. Here you'll see it again. Very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 17. The Bible says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Salvation's free to all. And the Holy Spirit's calling to everybody, folks. And not everybody wants to listen to him. Not everybody wants to know that he's a sinner. Not everybody wants to get called into salvation. Calling is of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Enough there. So there's the great picture. There's a great picture of the Trinity here at work in the first verses of Jude. You're sanctified by God the Father. You're preserved in Jesus Christ. And you will one day stand before him blameless. And you're called through the Holy Ghost, which is the Comforter. And that's a blessing, folks. Now let me ask you something. Are you sanctified by God? Right? Then Jude is for you. Are you preserved in Jesus Christ? If so, then Jude is for you. Are you called? Then Jude is for you. The book of Jude is for a Christian, folks. Doctrinally. Okay? So we'll start moving on here. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, does anybody have any disagreements with that? Yes? Colossians. Well, I don't know if you can lose your faith. Because if you can lose your faith, right. Okay. Because. Right. Well, I know you about the rewards thing, and I understand about the rewards and everything, but right, yeah, I'll have to look at that a little bit more. Okay, do we all agree that Jude is for the Christian? Okay, so we can move on. Yeah. Right. Well, you can, there's a certain condemnation that you can receive on this earth. Okay, right, right. Right, no, you're not. That's eternal security. You're sealed by the Holy Ghost on the day of redemption, or at the time of salvation. Yeah. Yeah, you do not lose your salvation. Now, you can lose your blessings, like love, joy, peace, long suffering, all that kind of stuff you can lose on this earth while you're going through it. And so there's I guess you could say, you know, that there are things you can lose, right, that you could have gotten had you have followed the scriptures, but your salvation is not one of them. That's a done thing. When the Holy Spirit comes in you, you're sealed till the day of redemption. You're preserved, right? You're sanctified by God. That's the sanctification is, you're clean. You're clean forever on that respect. And, well, see, and okay, I kind of understand. There, you can be condemned, your body, right? But your spirit and your soul can never be condemned. And that was what we were talking about here. That was the context, okay? Your spirit and your soul can never be condemned to anything. It cannot be blamed for anything. Your body cannot be blamed for anything. That's the whole reason of this preservation, right? Your body is coming out of the grave. Are you going to suffer later on in eternity for sins? No, they're paid for. They're gone. Can you suffer loss of a reward that you could have gotten? Yeah, the Bible's very clear on that. But are you losing parts of your body? Is Jesus kicking, throwing parts of his body into hell? Is he condemning parts of his body in heaven? No, that's just not happening, folks. And so, yeah, now can you be blamed for things on this earth? Yeah, of course. Can you lose heavenly things on this earth that you could have gotten? Like, look, why would you want to live a miserable life? Right? Because that's what's happening if you walk after the flesh, even if you're saved. Right, you can't. Right, so there's two different types of sanctification there. Right. There's sanctification that's daily, and there's sanctification that's immediate upon salvation, and that's what we're talking about here. The immediate one, okay? And maybe we get into another book of the Bible, we'll start talking about that stuff. But yeah, I can see where it gets, where you start thinking, well, I could lose, I'm going to be blamed in heaven and the Lord's going to spank and I'm going to get whipped and I'm going to be naked. No, you're going to be clothed. Right? You're going to be, folks, you're going to be, okay? If you're a saved Christian, you're going to be. Now, a lot of people like to take those verses that are applying to not people that are saved, like in Revelation, where he talks about the church, there's people in the church that aren't saved and are naked, right? How can a Christian be naked when you're going to be clothed in a robe of righteousness? You got Jesus Christ. So you can take verses and make your people be afraid and make the church of God be afraid by those verses, just to get people to be upstanding citizens, right? Or you can obey the word of God from the heart and know you're a child of God and know your promises or certain promises are guaranteed you and live a victorious Christian life based upon those things, right? Yeah, you can suffer loss of rewards that you are there for you. God has got things set out for you to get. And if you don't get them, but are you going to lose rewards that you've already gotten because you did something wrong down the road? No, folks. That's not how that works. And I don't see that in the scripture anywhere. But anyway, we'll move on. Verse 2. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Now, here's another verse that shows a picture of the Trinity, okay? And mercy represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, in Jude 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, right? Do you know why you get an opportunity to have eternal life? Because Jesus Christ was merciful. That's why. Right? Do you really think that Jesus Christ had to leave his place in heaven and be made a little lower than the angels of heaven and become a man and suffer the things that he suffered on this earth? I don't believe he could. He had to. No way. He had to because he said he was going to, but if he never said he was going to, he would have never had to, folks. And he could have let the mankind go straight to hell. He could have. But he didn't. Why? Because he's merciful. And he wanted his Father to forgive those he created. That's why, folks. And the only way for God to forgive is if his only begotten Son showed mercy and did what he did and took upon our sins. And so without Jesus Christ, there's no hope for any to receive eternal life, right? And only eternal death. Only eternal death. Peace comes from the Holy Spirit. What time is it? I don't have my watch on me. Anyway. 10 till, okay. Peace, it comes from the Holy Spirit. John 14:25. Here Jesus, he promises to give peace to those who upon his leaving. John 14:25. No more, almost done. We'll stop here in a little bit. 14:25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give it, give I unto you. Okay, and so it comes from the Holy Ghost, that the Comforter that the Lord gives when he leaves. And if you remember in Galatians 5, peace is one of those fruit of the Spirit, right? Fruit of the Spirit. Love be multiplied. Now it's interesting because in other places of the scripture you see grace and peace be multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied. You see it numerous times. And it seems like this is the only place where it shows up where peace and love be multiplied, right? And so, but this statement, in verse 2, verse 3 represents, verse 2, it represents the fullness of the God, fullness of God. This is what it represents. And it looks like he says he wants us to multiply our peace and our love. Why? Well, if you know the book of Jude, if you read a few verses, there's some things coming in this book that it's almost like you need to double up this peace and double up this love, folks. God is love, right? We know that. 1 John 4:16. God is love. There's that picture of God there. And so you're going to need more love, and you're going to need more peace to be able to deal with what's coming in this book, what he's getting ready to warn us about in this book, and for this specific task that is ahead of us. And the Holy Spirit knows that you're going to need this. You're going to need more truth. folks. That's what it boils down to. You're going to need more truth. And you're going to need more remembrance of the scripture than normally needed to do what he's going to ask you to do. And we'll go ahead and stop there, and we'll pick it up next week. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And Father, we pray, Lord, that we would just continue to study them and to have understanding about them, Lord. And we pray for the services this afternoon. You just bless them. For Christ's sake, amen.